Well, hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Hyperion Adventures Podcast. I'm Tom. As always, I'm with my wonderful, intelligent, gorgeous, very hardworking, Songs of the 70s loving wife and co-host, Michelle.
Well, thank you, sweetie. Hi, everybody.
So good to have you with us. We are recording this episode on Sunday, April 14th. 2024, midway through the month of April.
Woo-hoo,
yeah,
wow.
It's moving right along, yeah. But it's been a great month so far.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So much stuff going on, so many things happening, so many future plans happening.
Wow.
It's been good.
It has been good.
Thank you for joining us today. In the future, you can find us most everywhere you get podcasts. However, the very best place to find us is on our own website, HyperionAdventuresPodcast.com. Also, we are on social media. We're on Twitter.
X.
Whatever.
It's called X.
Whatever floats your boat. At Hyperion Podcast. Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. If you are on Facebook, come on over and join us for some good, positive Disney energy fun on our Hyperion Adventurers Facebook group. Also, we're on social media. Yes, yeah. We're on social media. We're also on YouTube. Boy, we're off to a rollicking start this morning. Also, we are on YouTube.
Kind of why we don't do live shows.
True. Although it might be fun for people to see.
So scary.
The craziness that ensues when we do this show. We are on YouTube. If you want to find us there, we're at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. And if you ever want to contact us for any reason, please hit us up at our Gmail account, HyperionAdventuresPodcast@gmail.com.
And we want to remind people also that we do put out a weekly newsletter. We don't share your email address with anybody. It's just to send out our once a week newsletter.
Yep, that's it. Just want to get you kind of in the know of what's going on, mostly in the Hyperion Adventures podcast world, but also in the world of Disney. Michelle adds some stories, and a lot of times there's maybe a sweepstakes out there that maybe you don't know about.
Surprising how many they have.
Win a trip to Disney in some way, shape, or form, whether it be a cruise, whether it be a resort stay, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Olani. You never know what might pop up, and Michelle's always scouring the internet to try and find those for you so you can enter into them all.
Yes. Good luck.
You never know. You might win one. You might luck out.
Yeah, and if you do, we want to hear about it.
We hope you invite us if you do. No, we want to hear about it.
I know.
Sure.
You're so funny.
No, I'm not, but I appreciate that. Thank you. Now, before we get into this week's show, you know we like to take a look back at the week that was, because this is the Disney podcast of positivity. So we like to focus on those highlights, those wonderful, those positive moments from the week that was. We call it My Favorite Thing from This Week. And when we do this, we always start with Michelle, because she's spectacular. She's amazing. She's wonderful. You know she does the best research. You heard that last week. She has the best lists. You're about to hear that in a little bit here. She also has the best My Favorite Thing from This Week. So, Michelle, what was your favorite thing from this week?
Well, there were a lot of things to choose from, so it was kind of hard to narrow it down. I'm going to say, though, I kind of lumped it together in we were fortunate enough to have the trifecta of success with Disney reservations this week. We were trying to get on the general registration for Moonlight Magic at Animal Kingdom later this month. Not the pre-registration if you already had a resort, the regular. And lo and behold, we got that. And because that's late at night, we decided we needed a room to stay in. So we put our wait list on a hotel at Disney, and our wait list got approved that same day. And then we wanted to book the Disney Vacation Club member cruise yesterday. And again, we got through really quickly and easily and got the cabin that we wanted first shot.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those are also my favorite things from this week, because it was a crazy lucky week for us in that regard. Because these are things that don't necessarily work out always the way you want or as smoothly as you want. Especially we'll talk about the Moonlight Magic for the general opening. a lot of those slots for that go to the DVC members that have resort stays. Right. Makes sense. You're already planning a vacation, you know, they want to kind of reward you for staying
right.
using your, you know, you don't have to be using your DVC points, but you do have to have a resort stay and be a DVC member. And so they reward you with giving you that early entry. And so that's where a lot of those spots go. And then they have whatever's left over for the general public to go out. I think it's usually a week later. And those go very, very quickly.
Yes.
We've tried before on the general and have not been successful.
Right.
But we got in this time very quickly. We're able to book it. And that was exciting to us. It's going to be a little crazy because I'm working the day of and the day after. So I expect to not have a lot of sleep during those times. But it's going to be fun and exciting. And we can't wait to get it. But more exciting was the fact that when we booked that DVC member cruise, you know, we've been plotting this out for a long time, trying to figure out a time when we can go on one of these. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked with our schedule, but we've heard such great things about them, how oftentimes there are so many, you know, Disney personalities, people who have big roles with Disney, whether it be Imagineers, whether it be performers,
right.
you know, artists, whatever. And they go on these sailings, and then there's gifts, and there's just a lot of interesting stuff that happens. So we're like, okay, at some point we need to do one of these. This one came out for 2025, and we're like, okay, it's out of Florida. We can do this one. It works out in a time when we don't have another trip already booked, so let's go ahead and book it. But we also know, like, this day it opens up and everybody's trying to get in because it's a very popular thing.
Right.
So we got in there, we're like, okay, let's try and get through and, you know, and see what we can get. We have our cabin preferences, hope we get somewhere close to what we want, but even if not, we're gonna probably do this thing. We tried it out first thing 10 a.m. yesterday morning, and boom, we were right through. I mean, literally.
I know, it's crazy.
Right through. As a matter of fact, we had this wonderful cast member who helped us out. Her name was Ellie. She was fantastic. She said we were her first people booking a cruise that day that she worked with her. So we got, like, literally right through. Like, I think, like, the best case scenario I thought was that we'd be hitting redial for like 20 minutes
right.
and then maybe we'd get through at that point and then be on hold for another hour
right.
or so. If we were lucky, we got through without really being on hold at all. We
I
got
know.
The pick of our cabins. We got exactly what we wanted. It couldn't have gone easier for us.
Oh, for sure. And not only was it her first cruise booking of the day, she had never booked cruises. She's a DVC cast member, but not one that has done the cruise booking part, I guess. And so she was amazing. She kept us up to date of what was going on when she was, you know, having to get some assistance here and there. It was, but like you said, it was amazing that we got through on our first dialing there and got somebody fantastic. And it was no wait.
Yeah, we were incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen usually. And I'm sure for a lot of you, if you booked the member cruise, you had the same experience that probably wasn't as easy as ours. And
right.
But hopefully you got what you were looking for just the same. But it was that doesn't happen.
I know, like, it's like beginner's luck or something.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was like, what do we do for the rest of the day? I had booked out like 4 hours to be trying to book this cruise.
Right.
You know, like, well, how are we spending the rest of our Saturday? It was great that we had that availability, but
yeah.
we were just planning on being there on hold and redialing and whatever it took
right.
to try and get through and hopefully get one of the many cabins we thought, okay, this would be good. This or this or this or this or category. If that's not
right,
you know, what were we going to work out? And like I said, we got the one we wanted. We're excited. It's going to be so fun. It's still almost a year and a half away, but it's another thing on our calendar that we
right.
can be more thrilled about.
Yeah. Super excited about that. And how lucky we were that the process worked out amazing for us.
So. Lucky again. I will admit, we were just 100% lucky.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't happen usually with Disney.
And no.
You have to usually put in a little bit of work trying to get through on some of these days that are very popular. We
right.
got very lucky.
Right, especially since you have to do this booking by phone.
It's, right.
There's no online methodology for booking the vacation club.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people want to book it. There's only so many cast members that can take these things in. So it's, you know, and it's not something DVC does normally. Not that they don't ever book cruises.
Right.
They do, but it's not something they do with regularity.
Right, right.
So it's a little bit tricky for them, but it worked out for us. Hopefully, if you were trying to, it worked out for you. But we're very excited. Can't wait to experience that. And again, obviously, a year and a half from now, assuming we're still doing the show, year and a half from now, of course, we'll share all the details about that with you. So that's fun.
Yes.
Now, on to this week's show. We have lots of stuff for you this week, including Disneyland Paris shares details about the reimagining of one of their parks. Mm. We'll tell you about that. And noteworthy changes are coming to the Disney Parks DOS program. Mm-hmm. You'll want to hear all about this, especially if that affects you. We'll talk all about that. But that's later. Let's go ahead and get to our very groovy main topic of the week. It's been a while since we approached a topic like this, but we've done it in the past, and you've told us that you really kind of enjoyed it because it was something a little bit different than maybe you've heard. We've done plenty of music episodes, right. Musical list episodes, but we've been kind of decided, hey, let's kind of go out of the realm of Disney and talk about songs that we wish were Disney songs. Right. We've been going through some time periods right now. Eventually, we might extend this into actual genres of music. But right now, we've already done the 80s. We've done the 90s. Right. Now, we're going to go back a little bit and hit the 70s. Talk about 70s hits we wish were Disney songs. Right, Michelle?
Exactly. And what a groovy, disco-y bunch of songs, I guess, that were in the 70s that we got to choose from.
Well, it's an interesting era for music because not every decade doesn't do this, but this was really, you know, you go from the rock, there's kind of the yacht rock, there's kind of, you know, the soft rock, and then you go into some great R&B, of course, disco, which is most famous for, there's good country. There is actually a lot of interesting, it really does go across the gamut, runs the gamut, even though if you probably just think, oh, it's the 70s, it's going to be all disco. No,
right.
There's a lot of different stuff out there. And so that made this a little tough for me. I think actually it made it tough for me because there were a lot of songs I love. It was trying to figure out where am I going to fit them into the Disney realm and how can I make this song work? Some of these for me may be a bit of a stretch. I will admit it flatly right out. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of good music, maybe some songs you haven't heard in a while. And I think this is going to be fun, right, Michelle?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess I'm glad that people like this topic. And so that's why we're continuing to do it. And like you said, we can also go into the 2000s, et cetera.
Yeah, so decades, I think that will be our next decade that we'll, have. We'll be back. We'll go back forward into some music that maybe more people are more accustomed to. The 70s, we're kind of showing our age a little bit by going into the 70s. But
that was a tough one. I had to look up. Sometimes I was looking up artists that I knew, and other times I was looking up just what were the most popular songs of the 70s or something like that. And saying, oh, that came out in the 70s. Okay.
Yeah, it's there are some that are like, oh, this is a 70s song. I look at it, it's like, no, it's 1980. I'm like, oh, darn, can't get ease that one. Anyway, this will be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to doing this. And when we start one of these, of course, when we're going to do the best list, we always start with Michelle's list because she's wonderful, fantastic, all things great in the world.
Please.
You know, she does the best research. She has the best tips. You'll hear that later, but she also has the very best list. So let's get to it. Michelle, what is your number 5 favorite 70s hit we wish were a Disney song?
Okay. So my number 5 by Natalie Cole is This Will Be. You brought a lot of sunshine into my life. So, boy, there's a lot of love in that song.
An everlasting love.
An everlasting love. And I just thought this theme would go perfectly with the movie Tangled, you know, with, you know, the two of them coming together finally, you know, maybe a mismatched pair, one would think, but that it would turn out to be so beautiful in their relationship.
And very much a celebratory song at the end. That it seems like it would be a good wedding song for Eugene and for Rapunzel. Yeah, I can see that working.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good start.
Well, thank you.
That's a good way to kick it off here. Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Thanks. So I'm anxious to hear your list, especially since you had some songs, I think, in your mind, you said. So I want to kind of delve into what your mind looked like. What's your number five?
What did my mind look like? Well, that's a scary thought right here. I'll tell you that right now. For my number five 70 hit that we wish was a Disney song.
Yes.
Well, as we all know, hashtag real men love Frozen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking about this. Of course I have to get Frozen involved in this. Well, think about one of our favorite characters from Frozen. Of course we're talking about our lovable snowman, Olaf.
Yes.
Well, what does he love besides warm hugs, maybe more than anything else?
He loves summer.
He does love summer, and he might just love a summer breeze.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's all right. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze
Did you ever really think you'd hear Seals and Crofts on our show?
That's real yacht rock.
That is real yacht rock right there. Seals and Crofts with Summer Breeze. I thought, yeah, I heard that. I'm like, that is Olaf. Olaf, I could totally see singing exactly that.
On a yacht.
Yeah, makes me feel fine, rolling through the jasmine. Yes. Okay, I told you, many of these might be a little bit of a stretch. But I was like, that's Olaf right there. He would love the song about the summer breeze.
Right. I actually think that is a good fit. So I don't know that I would count that as a stretch. Yeah. I thought that seems pretty appropriate. Yes.
Thanks. I'm glad one of my songs at least is a little bit appropriate. By the way, another problem with picking 70 songs for this is the how many songs are actually appropriate for a family
that's
show?
True, like that's
true. Not so sure. We'll see.
And I think you could say that with any decade, but yeah, true. I think that's there true. Were some it's, really...
In the 70s, it was a little more free, I think, with some of the stuff they were talking about.
It's like, or like part of the song, like you'd look at the lyrics, it's like, oh, this is good. And then you get into it a little bit deeper, like, oh, yeah. Oh no.
Yeah. Oh, I always kind of feel like that this is like... When we're doing these, maybe you're not using the whole song. You're using a small piece of it, just like we're doing on the show.
True.
Some of these songs may be able to work when you use small pieces. If
that's
you use the whole song, you're like, maybe not. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. Let's get to the real list, though. Let's get back to Michelle's number four favorite 70s hit that she wishes was a Disney song.
Well, this one I found, I know you love the group ABBA. I like ABBA, some of their songs as well. And I thought, oh, this song probably has to make it in here. And that is Take a Chance on Me.
Take a chance on me. Gonna do my very best, baby.
also, actually, I think there's a lot of Disney films where somebody is wanting to be loved by somebody else, and that would be a song that would fit. But I found one couple that I thought this would be perfect for coming from.
I wonder if this matches who I would have thought this is for.
Ooh, okay. I thought this would be perfect for WALL-E.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's not who I would have picked.
Oh, really? Yeah, because I just figured, you know, one, because like I said, I think there's other couples that it might be, or even friends, that it might be a good song to have on a film or associated with. But I think just because of the bounciness of ABBA, I thought, who would be quirky enough to have this song fit them? And I just think of that scene in WALL-E where they're in space and dancing. And I could just see this also being incorporated there.
Very good. Yeah. I like that choice.
Yeah.
And by the way, there was no way we were getting through a 70s without there going to be at least one ABBA song being played in this. Will there be another? We'll see a little bit later.
But,
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Hmm.
But who I would have picked for this, and I'm actually surprised that you didn't go this way, is that song feels to me like that is something that Isabella would have been singing to Phineas from Phineas and Ferb. I like that.
That's true.
Isabella. I can see Isabella saying, take a chance on me.
Right, you know? For sure.
Like, oh, I just thought
that's a good thought. Yeah.
And that's where I had it. It would have been, it almost made my list. It would have been in my honorable mentions for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I guess I didn't really think about some of the you know, like Disney Channel things. Some things I did, but that's a good pick. I like yours too.
Yeah. No, Michelle's list is always the best list. So.
I don't know about
that. Let's just get that right out of the way.
Like, but perfect. I like that matchup that you have with Isabella. That's perfect. Nice. All right, let's hear your number four.
So my number four 70s hit that I wish was a Disney song, I think would fit right in. And I could have, I had another song that was, I almost did a 4A, 4B. I decided to push one of them to honorable mentions and just do one here for my number four. But I also think this is kind of a cop-out because I think that you could do so many of these songs and fit them in with the Muppets. Because I think that the Muppets would be perfect for this kind of stuff, especially some of these 70s music, especially if you're talking about like the Electric Mayhem. You know,
sure.
If I know that they are not doing another season, at least as of right now, of Muppets Mayhem. Mm-hmm. I really wish they would. And this is a song that I totally could see fitting right in with them.
Here we come again on Saturday night. When you're fussing and you're fighting, won't you get me to the right? I won't move. Hey, you need a traveling bear. Yeah. Well, I'm flying across the land. Trying to get a ham. Hey, you need a traveling man. Away.
Of course, Creedence Clearwater Revival there with Traveling Band. I could just totally see the mayhem
for sure
breaking out in that. Maybe in the van as they're going along, they're traveling
the bus,
their tour bus. Could totally see it happening. I don't know what you think about
that. Oh, 100%. I think that's a spot on match, and I like it. I totally agree with you too about a lot of songs could link with Muppets. I had some that I kind of thought of and then ended up thinking, well, maybe honorable mentions or whatever, but not that song. I hadn't thought of that song or found that song on my searches. And I love it. I think, like you said, it's perfect for the Muppets.
Thanks. Yeah. I thought it was a decent choice, but let's get back to the real choice. Let's get back to the real list. Let's get back to Michelle's number three favorite 70s hit that she wishes was a Disney song.
Okay, well, my number three, and I don't know, I think this fits. It's the song I think a lot of people know, We Are Family.
Living life is fun and we just begun to get our share of this world's delight. High hopes we have.
So I know that's been used in films before. And so, but I don't think any Disney films. But who do you think I would connect this to? Any thoughts?
I think you could go so many different directions with it. Cop out again, right to the Muppets. I think the Muppets are kind of the We Are Family.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm wondering what you're thinking with this one.
Right. And I think the Muppets, it crossed my mind about the Muppets, but then I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I thought with Toy Story 3, you know, as they come together, as things, you know, that they realize that they are a family together, and they need each other and love each other. And I just thought that would be a good song to go with Toy Story 3.
Yeah, I like that choice. Ooh. I like it. That sounds
all
good.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You can get Spanish buzz out there dancing right. away with Jesse.
I know. There were several songs I thought about with the two of them, but I thought, okay, this one kind of gets the whole group incorporated. Perfect. So, yeah.
Like great choice. And yes, not a surprise that We Are Family made a 70s music list.
Right. Yeah. All right, so we're at your number three, I guess.
My number three. Well, I decided I needed a villains song. I think there's, you know, we love the villains. We love the villain songs, especially for them. And I think, you know, there's a villain that doesn't have a song attached to her, or at least not a really good, strong song attached to her, that maybe we need one for her.
Okay.
How about one done by the Eagles for Maleficent?
Raven hair and ruby lips, sparks fly from her fingertips, echoed voices.
Yes, of course, Witchy Woman from the Eagles. Had to get some Eagles in there. And I just thought when I heard it, I'm like, you know what? Who does this fit? There are many witches that it could fit within the Disney oeuvre. But I decided maybe this ties best, especially with the raven hair and everything.
Right.
With Maleficent.
Yeah, that's spot on. I have to say, honey, I'm very impressed with your list. I think you really picked some... Very iconic songs, but also link them appropriately and magnificently.
Maleficently.
Maleficently, yes.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. Again, my list isn't the real list.
I don't
Yours
think so.
Is
I think
the real list.
This time, honey, I have to say, your list is killing it.
Well, I don't know. I think yours is still way ahead, as it always is. Speaking of that, let's get back to the real list here. Let's get to Michelle's number two favorite 70s song she wishes was a Disney song.
All right. Well, I think, you know, I probably couldn't do a list, a Hyperion top five list without having an A or B. And that happened with my two. I have a 2A and 2B because both songs, I feel, kind of go appropriately. They're different songs altogether, but they kind of both go together with Star-Lord and Guardians of the Galaxy. So the first one I thought of was Come Sail Away by Styx. Yeah, I kind of think at the ending of the first Guardians of the Galaxy, and, you know, Star-Lord has his crew there now and getting ready to, do a bit of both. And I just thought that song kind of really captured the essence of what was going to happen next.
Makes sense. And it's not in the piece that I cut out of that song, but because I didn't know exactly what you were going to, how you were going to tie it in with it. Mm-hmm. But there's even a, you know, climb aboard my starship
right.
and head towards the
exactly.
skies.
Yeah.
Are part of the lyrics in there. So I think it works. And, you know, this one thing, you know, there are so many of these, especially these 70s songs that work with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
In fact, that there were several I had to take out because I'm like, oh, well, that's already been done by the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, yes.
So we had to make do without some of my favorite songs, but that's all right.
Sure.
And I
sure.
think that one fits right in. I agree with you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I like you said, and for people who are listening, sometimes in our list, if it's just a regular list, we're not sharing anything at all. If it's a music list, sometimes I give Tom a heads up of some of the songs I'm going to include so he can cut it ahead of time, save some editing later.
She usually gives me a list that's more than, well, I never know, 'cause, you know, 2A, 2B, more than what is going to be on her list. That way, maybe it throws me off a little
right.
bit, but just so we're prepared. Now, I will sometimes try and guess a song or two that she might use as well, but that way we're not trying to plug things in later. We can actually react to them as we're going on through the show.
Right. Something we learned over the years yes. as we've done these music videos, rather than just saying the song and looking at each other for a few seconds.
Yeah. Okay. Here's where I'll put the song in later.
Post. Insert song here. Yeah. Yes. But as I said, I actually found two songs that I thought of Star-Lord in this. And my 2B is actually a Michael Jackson song from the 70s called She's Out of My Life.
She's out of my life. She's out of my life. Decision and cursed pride. I kept my love for her locked deep inside, and it cuts like a knife. She's out of my life.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, obviously it's sad, and we know the sadness, the deep sadness he experienced when the snap and changes and things happened that Gamora, the Gamora that he knew and fell in love with passed away, and the returned Gamora didn't know that pass, and so therefore didn't connect with him. And how he suffered as a result of that. And I thought that one, Michael Jackson's just one of the most talented artists, although I don't think he wrote this song, but you wouldn't know by the passion that he puts in it. But
you can hear him actually crying
yeah.
through the end of that song when you listen to it closely.
Right,
like
right.
He's totally emotionally involved in that
right,
song.
Right. You know, and so that's where I thought this connected a lot with Star-Lord and what he was experiencing. Now, again, some of the lyrics and some of the cuts that we're using may not be as capturing of the essence, but I think the essence of somebody no longer, you know, somebody you love or cherish no longer there for whatever reason and know that heartache, and I think that captured it.
Yeah, I think you really see it in Guardians of the Galaxy 3 at the beginning. He's very despondent
right.
and not doing great about, you know, obviously the loss of Gamora,
right.
although he knows that she's the different version of her is out there somewhere.
Right.
And, you know, the mistakes he made in Infinity War,
right.
you know, which costs so much
yeah.
you know, for such a lost period of time. You could definitely feel that, and I can feel that in that song, that it totally makes sense.
Right.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Ooh, so we're getting down to number two of your list. This is exciting. We're getting near the end.
Well, I mean, after you brought the room down a little bit there with that song.
Sorry.
I think I'm going to have to lift it back up.
All right,
Earth,
good.
Wind, and Fire.
Shadows by the light on you. for you to see what your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be.
So yes, Earth, yeah. Wind, Fire with Shining Star.
I can't wait to hear about this one.
Yeah, well, I think this fits in so many possible areas, sure, with Disney, because we've seen there's so much to deal with the Wishing Star.
Right.
Or and so forth, including Wish, which just came out and was focused on the star.
Right.
And there's even a time in there talking about how, you know, we're all a star. And I kind of feel like that song's the same thing. You're all shining stars.
That's true.
I feel like this could fit in some sort of, one, it could fit in. And I enjoy that song. It's a little more scientific, but, you know, it could fit right into the film Wish. And
sure.
That kind of scene there. But I also could see it like a nighttime spectacular where if you had a montage scene of, ooh, you know, some of the various wishing stars and,
right,
how, you know, and how people have become who they dreamed of being,
right,
essentially. You can become that shining star.
Ooh,
and I think that,
yeah,
kind of would fit that way. Plus,
definitely,
it's Earth, Wind, and Fire, and you got to get more Earth, Wind, and Fire out there. We have September, of course, which really is probably my favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire song, definitely, right, out of the 70s, that is in Cosmic Rewind.
Right.
But we need more Earth, Wind, and Fire, so let's, sure, go ahead and add Shining Star. To the theme park genre.
Yeah, I love that. And I love especially your description of having it included in like a nighttime fireworks show with the projections and things like that. That would be cool. I think we should, or maybe just do our own little...
Do our own little nighttime spectacular at home?
Well, just something on the computer with like images and stuff like that, or good, a little video reel or something.
Somebody just did it.
So. I know. Oh my gosh, I love it.
All right.
I love it.
But let's get back to the real list. And not only just the real list, the number one 70s hit, Michelle Wishes Was a Disney Song.
All right. Well, this one, I don't know. I might have been like just maybe when I was coming up with the list, a little too much wine in me or something. Because this song that I'm going to ask you to play is, I actually associate it with Star Wars. I would put it at the end of Phantom Menace when the Gungans are marching, you know? And I'm anxious to hear what Pat and Charles from Conversation think of this, because I think it's going to be a hit. It is We Are the Champions.
We are the champions.
Yeah, so I just think that would be hilarious having that song in the background as they're marching towards Queen Amidala there. And
wouldn't they be singing, We Are the Champions?
That's true. Oh, maybe Pat and Charles will make that song.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
But yeah, I just when I think I heard that song, I mean, obviously it would fit in some other things, even other Star Wars. I could see it somewhat at the end of A New Hope, you know, kind of too. But I just think kind of that because of the comical nature of connecting this with a Disney song, I just thought more of comical type of characters.
I'll extend it a bit further. I think if, as they're marching down the street, you can do what the traditional version of the song is, which starts with We Will Rock You,
right,
you know, the...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you continue it right in there, stomping down the street doing that, and then right into We Are the Champ, or We Are the Champions. We don't need to add anything to John Williams' great score, but, you know, for a little fun.
Yeah.
I like it. I like your thinking.
Thank you.
It's a little kooky, but I love it. It's what I love about you. One of the many things I love about you.
Oh, you're sweet. You're so sweet. But I'm, you know, as impressive as this list of yours has been, I'm very anxious to hear your number one.
Well, for my number one, you started, I believe, with a song that you felt tied in with Tangled, with Rapunzel and Eugene. I feel that this one also could be something that maybe Eugene, yes, Flynn Rider, Eugene is also thinking about Rapunzel. Yes, America right. with Sister Golden Hair. Of course, Rapunzel.
Right?
You know that's what Eugene's looking at her saying, oh, I love that golden hair.
True.
Although he doesn't say at the end, you know, I like brunettes. So
yes.
Maybe, but it fits at the time, maybe in the middle of the film.
Right, the right. On. Yeah. No, that is a great one. You really captured that perfectly, baby.
We started with something for Tangled, and we finished.
That's right. Wow. We're so in sync.
Yes. In sync. Go back to the 90s with In Sync. So those were our five favorites. Do you have any other maybe honorable mentions that we could add in here? Because I got a bunch.
Yeah, I got, well, I didn't go overboard. I got several. For the Beast, I was kind of thinking of maybe including the Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love? Come to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love. Then you softly leave. Then it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? Is your love? How deep is your love? I really need to love. Cause we're living. Yeah, so that kind of, you know, during the week as I was preparing my list was on and off. And I, you know, did kind of cut it. But I kind of thought that one would be a good connection with the Beast and talking to Belle.
When you bring that up, I was kind of thinking when you brought the Michael Jackson song, She's Out of My Life. When I originally put that in, I kind of thought that might be the song for what you were thinking was the
True.
Song for Beast when
right.
he lets her go,
yes.
essentially to go back to her father,
right.
who's in trouble.
Oh, definitely would have fit there too.
You know, I thought that kind of fit could have fit there.
For sure. You know? No, that's, wow. I like your way of thinking even a little bit better there. I think, you know, that would have been good. Some other honorable mentions. This one was kind of maybe a warped thinking, but...
I like it.
We Got Tonight by Kenny Rogers and Sheena Easton for Cassian and Jin.
Oh. Okay. It's like, maybe not the full night, but yeah.
I know, yeah. Get this one. Sure. But I thought that was a little kind of warped thinking. I also had on my list and on and off was a Paul McCartney song, Maybe I'm Amazed.
Mm.
And I kind of...
Such a wonderful song.
It is. And I kind of thought... probably why I took it off the list. I was struggling. Would that be best for Anakin? or for Eugene.
Hmm. Interesting.
Or both. Or both. You know, both. A bit of both. But anyways, those were kind of some of my honorable mentions that were kind of on and off the list that throughout my preparations.
Okay. What about you? Ready for a whole nother top five list for my honorable mentions here?
Nice.
This is one that was on my list and then backed off. And it was, maybe it's not exactly the most appropriate song, but I could totally see it fitting into Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and especially... Ooh. Maybe Roger Rabbit speaking about his significant other, Jessica Rabbit. Of course, the Commodore is there with Brick House. I could totally, I mean, like, that's Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think this show just got to at least a PG rating. But no, that is perfect.
Yeah. This one, here's a couple of songs that I was trying to fit in at one point because I kind of felt, but I thought it was too much of a stretch. It's like, I could see these fitting classically into like a Disney advertisement package, you know? Ooh, so
okay.
They're great songs, but I was like, okay, this is just, you're leaping too much here. But I could see like Disney would embrace these as, you know, possibly getting either families to come to Disney or in one case, more maybe, you know, adults coming to Disney. But the first one is more for families, I think, and that's Chic with Good Time. So like I said, Chic with Good Times there. I could totally see that being used as
definitely.
A Disney. Leave your cares behind.
Right.
These are the good times.
For sure. I think you're exactly right.
And then if you wanted to just kind of, hey, you know, look, a Disney cruise, a Disney park, a Disney resort, maybe you want to do something more just for the two of you. So Eddie Money with Two Tickets to Paradise. I thought, hey, you know, there we go. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead. Get that Disney cruise. Let's go to Aulani. Let's go to a Disney resort.
Yeah, that is a perfect song for that. And man, honey, your research into this topic is really impressive. I I send you kudos for all that.
Thanks. So next for my honorable mentions, I have the song that I told you was on my list as a B for, you know, Muppet Mayhem or whatever that I thought the band could be playing. This nearly made it. I decided to push it off at the end because I didn't think we needed two songs like this in here, but it's still a great song, so we're going to play it.
Well, the night was falling.
Of course, Band on the Run by Wings, Paul McCartney and Wings. Again, I thought that would fit perfectly for the Mayhem.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, it even tells a little story in there, you know, the county judge, on searching forevermore. I thought that write a whole story.
Yeah,
about
it could be an episode or two. Definitely.
So
good choice.
One more song for you, and I wanted to fit this in, but I just couldn't fit it. I couldn't figure out where could I possibly do this that makes any sense Disney-wise, other than to sell it as, if you want to get me on the dance floor, just hit this. Had to know. There was no way that Dancing Queen was not going to be played today when we're going through the 70s.
If
you know me at all, and yes, if you want to get me on the dance floor, just hit that song. Or if you ever watch me mowing the lawn and I have my headphones on and that song comes on, it's going to be a very unique experience watching me mow the lawn. I'll tell you that right now.
That's for sure. I never know for sure what you're listening to, but sometimes I can tell when it's something unique. I'm like, cool. He's having a good time there.
That's quite some movements going along behind that lawnmower.
Yes. But you're right. That song, you know, had to be included in the list. I actually was thinking about it too. And same thing, struggled. Where would it go? The closest thing I got was, and I couldn't think of a specific scene, but more of a character, is Miss Piggy.
Oh, it's not bad.
You know, but I thought, somehow that I could just see her being dancing to that song.
Yeah.
But again, I couldn't think of
a particular time. I tried to think. I mean, the problem is, you know, there's so many. I mean, obviously, Queen Elsa, Queen Anna, right. You know, but they're not really dancing. You know, I thought about Rapunzel, but, you know, so many princesses and not really queens.
Right, right.
I'm like, I'm trying to shoehorn it into some place it's not. That's why, believe me, it would have been on my list if it could have been, but I was not going to not play it. So it had to make it somewhere. So it's an honorable mention for me.
Perfect.
Because I love that song.
Well, I think your list was the best list, and I thought you did an amazing job.
Yeah, my list is never the best list. Mm-hmm. Michelle's list is always the best list.
For sure yours.
We would love to hear your list. Please send them to us. Hit us up on social media. Hit us up through the Gmail account. Doesn't matter when you listen to this, when you think of the song and what it ties to. Just send it to us. It could be a full five list. It could be one song. Let us know and we will share it on an upcoming show. So many great songs out of the 70s. I mean, we didn't even touch on things like Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. You know, we barely touched on Michael Jackson. A lot of the R&B out there. I mean, God, Earth, Wind, and Fire could go on forever with so much stuff. ABBA, you know me and ABBA. and rock, you know, I tried to get a Grateful Dead song in there because I really wanted to, but I just couldn't figure out a way to do it. That if you know me too, I'm also a Deadhead, so
yes.
I wanted to do that as well, but I couldn't.
Wearing your Deadhead shirt today.
I am. It's the one way I could get it in. No one sees it. It's just me, but yes. But it was actually surprising to me how many songs I got to pick from and how many songs I had to eliminate.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But again, I think your research, which was much more in depth and... And again, I think you picked some very spot on songs to associate with.
You did great. Yeah. You did great.
Thank you.
Now, before we get to the Disney stories of the week, you know we need to talk about our great friend Nate with Main Street and More Travel. Because let's face it, we all have trips we're thinking about taking in the very near future. Well, if you do, whether it be to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, or anywhere in the world beyond, let me tell you, Nate is the certified Disney vacation planner that you are going to want to get in contact with.
Oh my gosh, for sure. You know, as we, you know, mention all the time, he really has firsthand knowledge of things so he can really help you plan, customize a trip that is going to be the best for you, answer your questions. It's really concierge level planning that doesn't cost you anything.
High end. It is high end stuff that he will help you out with. Answer all your questions. He is there for you to make sure your trip, wherever it may be the best it possibly can be. And as Michelle mentioned, no extra cost to you. That's because either Disney or whatever other travel branch that he works through pays him for you. What you end up paying is exactly what you pay. If you did all that work yourself, only you can save that time and just relax and enjoy and let him set it all up for you.
Right. And you know what? He may even be able to save you some money from you doing it alone because he is on top of all the deals and steals that are out there.
Yeah. And there's never a guarantee, but let me tell you, if there's a discount out there, Nate will find it for you. So what you got to do is go to DizTripsAndMore.com, fill out the form there, and just contact him. Talk to him. Tell him what you want to do and let him get to work for you.
Right. So as Tom mentioned, once you fill out that form, Nate will be back in touch with you to start that planning. But be sure to tell him that Tom and Michelle sent you.
Yeah. Again, that's Nate with Main Street and More Travel. All right. Let's go ahead and get to the Disney stories of the week. I do have a few for you this week. And I'm going to start with some big news from Disneyland Paris as they share details about the reimagining of one of their parks.
Yeah, that was exciting news.
Yeah, so this all happened just the other day. This from the Disney Parks blog. They said, get ready to experience beloved Disney characters and stories like never before as Walt Disney Studios Park, the second park at Disneyland Paris, continues its transformation and expansion on a never-before-seen scale, starting with a brand new name for the destination. The location will be renamed Disney Adventure World, coinciding with the World of Frozen, when the World of Frozen opens, bringing with it a new creative vision that will nearly double the park's footprint and transform it into a world of adventure, and in Arendelle's case, a world of snow.
Now, I was excited to hear this news. You know, we've been to Disneyland Paris, and that park has always been kind of like one, disjointed and certainly not a full day of activities. So one, thinking or hearing that they're going to be doubling their footprint there, I think, is great, because I think they really could use some additional attractions, et cetera. And I like that they're not trying to just calling it Disney Studios and try to recreate something else that fits into that genre, that topic, and give them something that they can expand on and change or add to that's a little bit broader.
Yeah. I mean, I think the name is a little bland, but I mean, some people brought up the fact that maybe it translates well to a lot of languages in Europe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't have an issue with it per se. I know some people are like, oh my goodness, it's the worst thing ever. I don't feel that way.
Right.
I don't think it's not a super exciting name, but I don't care. I don't care what the name of the park is. It's not going to change right. what I'm going to think about it, except for maybe I think I'm going to go in there and I'm going to have lots of adventures, which it sounds like we know that they already have Avengers Campus there. Mm-hmm. They are going to have the World of Frozen there, which is an adventure for me. Trust me when I tell you that. So I can see it working with what they're doing there, which they're doing some exciting things there. And yes, Michelle is correct. When we've been there, you go to Disneyland Park,
right.
Park Disneyland, Disneyland Paris, and that is great. It's a really nice park. They're doing some things to refresh that as well. But the other park, you go out there and you're like, it's a half-day park.
Right.
Make this a full day park, and very exciting park is going to be wonderful for the entire area.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's the name is critical as what they're planning to offer guests there. And I would tend to think the offerings are the critical part of this, mm-hmm. you know, makeover.
Yeah. So the story goes on to say, Disney Adventure World will mark the beginning of a brand new story, which starts with the park's new entrance sequence in spring 2025. You'll be transported into a vibrant, contemporary, open-air movie studio, world premiere, and welcomed to a glamorous movie premiere in the heart of Hollywood. The current soundstage decor will be replaced with all new pieces paying homage to historic movie theaters. You can already visit Avengers Campus and Worlds of Pixar, but soon another immersive location will open at Disneyland Paris. We already talked about it, World of Frozen, where you will be able to journey to the Kingdom of Arendelle. In fact, you may notice its remarkable North Mountain and colorful facades slowly coming into view as construction continues. Yay. They're working hard on getting this thing together for 2025.
Yeah.
The wintry home of Queens Anna and Elsa will be located along the edge of Adventure Bay, a majestic lake surrounded by picturesque banks and a promenade at the heart of the park's expansion. It will serve not only as a gateway to the new themed world that will surround it, but also feature a unique entertainment stage with a 360-degree view. Viewing area, complete with fountains, music, lights, and special effects. It will be fitted with the latest technologies for water-based entertainment. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does sound very amazing mm-hmm. and fun.
Continuing towards the new promenade, Adventure Way, you'll discover an all-new family attraction, Rapunzel's Tangled Spin. I hope I pronounced that right. Raiponce, Rapunzel.
Well, I think we should get an expert. I think we should have Charles give us some feedback on that.
I'm going with it.
I think you did great.
Inspired by the beloved Disney animation movie Tangled, it will take you on a spin through the iconic floating lantern scene before setting off to try the delicious dishes over at the Regal View Restaurant and Lounge. This new table service restaurant will offer you spectacular views of Adventure Bay, along with a chance to meet some of your favorite Disney princesses.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beginning on May 25th of this year, Alice and the Queen of Hearts Back to Wonderland will debut at Walt Disney Studios Park. This wild new show, inspired by the Disney animation film Alice in Wonderland, will feature high-flying acrobats pushing their limits in a supercharged pop and rock showdown with two possible endings decided by the audience. That's interesting. It's a choose-your-own-adventure show.
Yeah, I love it. I love that feature and gives it a little bit more uniqueness because it's what is going on at that moment with the audience.
Right. And continuing the theme of adventure. I mean, I think you got to, like, if you've seen the show once, you're probably going to be there, like, trying to sway the crowd to go the other way so you can see the other ending as well. Meanwhile, over at Avengers Campus, a new nighttime activation will come to life by the end of 2024, taking place on the Worldwide Engineering Brigade building, that's WEB, by the way, through spring 2025. This immersive experience will combine projections, music, and special effects alongside an all-new storyline featuring some favorite and new to Disneyland Paris superheroes.
Nice.
Yeah, so as you can see, I mean, yes, they've changed the name of the park, or they are changing the name of the park to Adventure World. But you see, everything is tied with adventure. There's adventure almost in everything that they're doing now.
Right.
So, you know, it all kind of works together to make that park, the name of that park, understandable.
Right, definitely. And like you said, in terms of, you know, what they're offering and how they're making it be a different kind of experience, I think you need the word adventure in there.
So, you know, is the name bland? Maybe so, but I think it does fit with what they're trying to do at this park. Maybe more than the studios fits. I mean, I do agree. I saw somebody out there. It's like, oh, it's too bad they're taking Walt Disney out of the name of that park. And I get that. I'm never a fan of taking anything Walt Disney out of it. But I at least this fits more. I mean, you're not going to a studio there, you know, other than they're going to have a little focus on, like they said at the beginning of movies. But it's not about the movies in that park. More than any Disney park is, since, you know, there's so much film IP everywhere.
Right.
But it's not really about that.
Right.
And so it totally makes sense to change it to something different.
And yes.
Adventure, it seems like there's going to be a lot of adventures there.
Right. And like I said, it also opens the doors to do a lot more broader aspect of experiences for the guests.
Right. I've often thought that, you know, and I've mentioned this many, many times. I don't know if I've ever brought it up on the show before, but I thought that's the way that Disney California Adventure Park should go. They should just, as much as, you know, it's based on California, it's in California. Originally, it was all about California. Right. It's becoming less and less about California. Maybe instead of trying to make sure that that's stuck in California, just take the California out of it and make it Disney Adventure Park. I doubt they'll do that now that they have Adventure World.
Right.
But that's where I kind of thought that maybe they should go at some point with that.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, especially since they really started changing the theming to not be as focused as California. I mean, they do try to touch on it in different aspects, but it's certainly not the overarching theme anymore.
I mean, I still think you could have, you know, a California land or a California entryway, definitely still Buena Vista Street. You can still have that California aspect to it. But, you know, you kind of get stuck when you name a park California. And like, so anytime that anything gets put into that park that doesn't seem like it's California, people are like, why is it California Adventure Park?
Exactly.
Yeah. Other than it's in California.
Right, right. Yeah. And I mean, as we said, that was the original theme, was very, very focused on California theming throughout the entire park, but that's not the case anymore. So, yeah.
Will they ever change that name? I'm not sure, but that was my thinking originally. But like I said, I think I would be surprised if they went with two different adventure parks.
Right. And
so that's probably not the way we'd go if they ever do change the name of that park.
Anyway, exactly.
I digress. Let's move on to the next story. Noteworthy changes are coming to the Disney Parks DOS program. A lot of people are definitely affected by this.
Right.
We are, but probably it doesn't really affect us in a negative way. I know some other people it will affect. It won't affect us the way we use with Scott.
Right.
Having to use the DOS system for him. It makes sense for him.
Right. So that's their disability access service. And, you know, it was created really to focus on people who have issues more on maybe the emotional side of issues of waiting in a queue. And we've experienced that with Scott before we knew about the DOS system, or maybe it was before it was applied, where he would get into a queue and just that wait time in there with all the people around him would just become too overwhelming for him. And he couldn't stay there long enough to get onto the attraction. So having the ability to come back at a time. And so it's not instantly, you don't get it. It's not like the fast passes where
you still have to wait whatever the time would have been if you had gotten in the attraction line at that point.
Right.
You just don't have to actually wait in the line. You could do something else.
Exactly. I mean, and the other nice thing about it is you're not set to a certain time limit. So if it gives you the return time, say in 30 or 35 minutes, you don't have to be there at that time. You can't come there before, but you can come anytime the rest of the day. So let's say you end up only doing the one attraction and do it hours and hours later. That's fine. You've reserved an ability to come back to that. And I think most of the changes have to do with, you know, one, having that pre-authorization for Walt Disney World. That's going to be a necessity when they start this in May next month, that you will have to do the online chat with a cast member who will then confirm the reason for the need and take a photo. We've already had that in the past, that you could do that. We've done that with Scott. We used to be able to do on-site if needed. I think there was a time we forgot that it had expired and thought it was still going on and we had to go do it. That's right now they're saying that's not going to be in effect for Walt Disney World. However, it will still be in effect at Disneyland Resort.
Well, let's go through it. And this was broken down well by the person who we follow on social media. He's really good at getting the stuff, these stories out there. It's Scott Gustin. You can find him at Scott Gustin. We've said it many times. If you're looking to get, especially on Twitter, news about what's happening with Disney, he's on top of it. He doesn't do a lot of rumors. It's not a lot of clickbait there. He's not, and I don't think he has any clickbait. He's very much on top of it. And so we follow him and I trust on his stories a lot.
Right. And if you subscribe to our newsletter, we also covered it in there because there is information now directly on the Walt Disney World and Disneyland sites, official sites about
And that's
this.
Where he got it from as well. So then, no, it's straight from Disney, you know, and I think he gets tipped off by Disney that these things are happening. But anyway, so here's the breakdown of it. Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort will soon make changes to their Disability Access Service, the DAS program, including a change in how guests will be accommodated if they need help accessing attractions. This will be effective May 20th at Walt Disney World and June 18th at the Disneyland Resort. DAS was previously defined to assist guests who have difficulty tolerating long queues due to a disability. The updated system is intended to accommodate, quote, only those guests who, due to a developmental disability like autism or similar, end quote, are unable to wait in long lines. So that might be a little bit of a change of what we're talking about before. If you have a little ankle injury, you might not be available to get the DAS program. Disney will work with Inspire Health Alliance health professionals to help cast members, when necessary, determine a guest's DAS eligibility. So effective May 20th at Walt Disney World, guests meet virtually with a cast member before arrival to determine eligibility. Day of registration must also be done via virtual chat. So you can't go up to, sounds like you're not going to be able to go up to somebody, as Michelle was just talking about a little bit ago. You will still, even if you register that day, buy a ticket that day, you will still need to do it virtually to get the DAS program. So I don't know if that's through your phone, if they'll have some sort of system set up there that you can go up and do it. I'm not sure, but that's what it looks like it'll happen. Effective June 18th at Disneyland Resort, guests can meet virtually with a cast member before arrival or day of at accessibility service windows. So at Disneyland Resort, there will be spaces where you can do it in person. I think that maybe has to do with some of the spontaneity of people just being in town,
deciding
to go.
Right, or that maybe a reservation opened up that wasn't available.
Yeah, I mean, then Disneyland's it's such a different animal than Walt Disney World in the fact that, you know, there are people, so many people in the area, whereas Walt Disney World's, maybe there's more planning, whereas Disneyland, maybe are like, oh, you know, let's go to Disneyland today and, you know, check and see if there's a reservation. Available, you go. So I think that it may be more necessary to have that ease of figuring that out there. So here are the notable changes. Again, DAS Advanced Pre-Arrival Attraction Selections will no longer be a default offering to every DAS guest. Current DAS guests will need to reapply. So if you've been a DAS guest in the past, you will need to reapply once this new system gets into place. The DAS party size max will now only be 4 unless they're with your family. Then so there may be some exceptions if, like, you know, if you're a family of 6 or whatever, they may allow that to be the case. But if you're just going with friends and you want them to go ride with you as well, that's going to be capped at like 4.
4. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. DOS enrollment eligibility increases from 60 days to 120 days. So you'll have that larger window where you'll be eligible for DOS, and well, not going to be that 60-day period.
Right. Now that for Walt Disney World is just, that's a solid, once you get that approval, it's good for 120 days. For Disneyland, the difference there is it can be authorized up to 120 days, but it really goes the duration of the person's ticket. Mm. So if they have a one-day ticket, that authorization
is just the one day.
If they have an annual pass, I suspect those are the ones that would go up to 120 days, but it goes to whatever is shorter according to the ticket, and that's for Disneyland.
Or if, yeah, sometimes the tickets will extend where you have like a four-day or whatever,
right,
and it goes
right,
past 120
right,
days.
Exactly, so. But it won't automatically go all the way to 120 days. It's associated with the person who's getting the DOS services, what their ticket duration is.
Right, right.
At Disneyland.
Good information. Thank you, Michelle. So why does Disney decide to do this? Well, according to Disney officials, DOS usage in the parks has tripled over the past 5 years. So, and there's a lot of people that are like, you know, there's a lot of abuse going on with that system. The people maybe who don't necessarily need to be in that, use that program, maybe you're using that and bringing a lot of people and giving them that access. And we've also heard that, you know, there are travel groups and some other things that are promising some sort of, you know, access without having to pay for Genie Plus or whatever like that.
Right, right. Yeah, there's some unofficial tour guides that will offer that. And, you know, from what I was reading, that some of these would have like one or two people in their group, maybe even of the people doing the tours, get authorization for DOS and include the whole tour group to be able to utilize that service. And so there was abuse there in terms of how was that really being utilized, and was it, you know, something undermining it for a sales purpose.
So not only was that, you know, obviously it was costing some money that Disney could have made by, you know, selling Genie Plus to these people, but also it's affecting those that really deserve to be able to use that system. But, and then, you know, it's affecting everybody in general, because the more people that are going through that way, the longer the standby lines are because of it. So something needed to be done. So is this extreme? It might be a little extreme, but something definitely had to be done to kind of corral in the DOS program.
Right. Yeah. You know, and having utilized that and gone through the pre-approval online, it is really pretty simple to do. And they're very friendly. Scott, who is very shy to talk to anybody, had no problem with, you know, just the person just had to see them for a moment, have him look in the camera and smile, and that was it. And, you know, same thing when we've done it on site where they just, you know, took a picture or whatever. And the other thing is too, they also, they inquire what kind of thing benefits that they can offer, you know, to help along. And so I think they do a great job with the program, and I understand the need to revamp some of it to put some more appropriate controls so there isn't that abuse or misuse of it.
Here's what I would say is that, you know, obviously this seems very firm on what their language is with what they're accepting and what they're not. But if you think you're borderline or your children are borderline or whatever, I would try and apply for it just the same.
Sure.
And see what they have to say and see, you know, I'm glad they're working with healthcare professionals to kind of help judge what is deserved and what maybe doesn't need to do this. And they can come to a nice balancing point in between. But there was no question that something needed to be changed.
Right, exactly.
So I'm glad that they're moving forward with this, and hopefully it will smooth out as we get more into this in the future and they can polish exactly who is eligible and who is not.
Right, right.
So I just have one more quick story for you, and that was that D23 has revealed that D23 Brazil will take place this year, November 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Trans America Expo Center in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We've heard about this. We've heard about this since we were at Destination D23
right.
last year, that they were adding a South America D23. I think it's fascinating that they're doing it in the same year that they're doing the D23 Expo in Anaheim, of course, and then just 2 months later, they're doing this in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I'm glad they're involving the world, but I'm like, well, what's going to be involved in this?
Right.
What kind of news is coming out of it? But it's exciting either way, because I'm happy for everybody that can, one, make the trip, or two, is down there in South America and can join. I mean, Disney's always had a tie to South America. Yes. And it's actually one of those things that I've talked about before. I'm surprised there's not more South American, you know, sort of experiences
right
within the park. I'm glad they're kind of starting to think about or talking about bringing that into Animal Kingdom Park,
yes,
you know, because so when you think about, you know, I mean, Walt and so many of the Imagineers, the early Imagineers and artists and so forth had such a tie, the animators, with South America, you know, La Grupa and everything that went down there and just toured South America for weeks. I always feel like there should be more of that within the parks. I'm still hoping that, you know, Epcot could use a couple more lands. I think we all agree right that they could use a couple more pavilions. South America makes sense, whether it be Brazil or
right
Colombia
right
or whatever it might be. I think it makes sense. Maybe that's leading to something like that. I'm just totally guessing.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
But either way, I think it's fun that in more D23, more Disney fans getting together for positive moments, I think is a great thing.
Yeah, definitely. It is exciting. Yeah. And there is a lot of information out there about Walt. There's on Disney Plus, there's a couple films about that.
Yeah, I guess talking about La Grupa.
Yeah. And then we also did a feature on the 100th anniversary. And when we did the decades of, I think it was the 40s, we talked about that travel as well. But yeah, I think it's cool. And like you said, hope it's opening the doors for something, some changes out here.
Yeah, we'll see what comes of that. I know there's going to be some big news involved in the D23 in Anaheim. It'll be interesting to see if there's, I'm sure they'll have some things as well to expand on at the D23 Brazil.
Right.
I'm just excited to find out what it's all about, but that's coming up later this year. So that's it for my Disney stories of the week. However, I believe Michelle also has a story. As we all know, Michelle always has the best Disney stories of the week. So Michelle, what's your story?
Just a little, I'll do this as an announcement. I covered it in the newsletter, a little bit more detail, some things to look for, but the cast to guest pin trading has returned as of this week at Walt Disney World. So, you know, we know that the stores and some of the other areas would have pin trading boards and the little drawer things. But now the cast members, again, will be having pins either on lanyards or little like belt clip things that have pins that guests can trade directly with cast members.
That's good, because that was another thing that we've been missing ever since COVID
right
started, is that that's kind of been taken away for good reason. But again, and one more thing coming back, and that's
exactly
always a lot of fun. And it's also great, and we're always good for any more interaction with cast members is always a positive thing. So
right. Yeah. And like I said, in the newsletter, we shared some exciting little things to look for.
You always do. You always do. Michelle stories, always the best story. Speaking of the best for Michelle, well, we know we never leave you without giving you some sort of tip that might help you on your next vacation. And when we do this, we always start with Michelle, because you heard it before. She has the best lists. She also does the best research. She's wonderful. All things great in the world. She also always has the very best tips. So let's get to it. Here's Michelle's tip of the week.
Well, I'm actually going to kind of expand on a topic that you bring up a lot of times, which is hydration. Yes. And just want to remind people of that message. But also, you know, one tip that I would have is bring a refillable water bottle into the park with you, because they do have refill stations throughout there, and that makes it a lot more convenient. And in fact, you can find those refill areas on the apps, whether it's the one you use for Walt Disney World or at Disneyland. Just do your search icon for bottle refills, and it will show you on the maps throughout the area where you can find these refill stations.
And more of those are popping up all the time.
Yeah.
There's new ones coming all the time. Also, you can always go to any place that serves, you know, like fountain drinks, essentially, and just ask them for a cup of ice water.
Right.
And they'll happily hand that to you. You can even grab a couple and refill your bottle with that.
Right, exactly.
So, whatever works best for you. But yeah, Michelle's tip, always the best tip. And my tip kind of ties along with that. Ooh. Because she's talking about bringing a refillable water bottle to the park. I want to remind you, and I know we've discussed this in the past, but sometimes people forget this. You can bring food into the park.
Right.
And, you know, maybe you want to bring a whole lunch, bring a sandwich or whatever, so you can save a little money that way, not have to pay for the park food. But even if you still want to eat some park food, you know, have some meals, maybe something for just some snacks kind of in between to kind of, especially with the little ones,
right,
to keep their energy level up as you go through. It really, you know, can be very simple. You can bring something simple with you you can bring like a little cooler with some sort of ice packs. You can't bring ice, but you can bring like an ice pack, like a gel pack or whatever, a frozen pack,
right,
and keep things cold. And you can bring that with you and you can break them out throughout the day, whatever. It's just kind of a good perk that will help you get through. And yes, you could save some money, but also keep everybody's energy level higher as the day progresses, because they'll expend a lot of it pretty quickly.
Oh, for sure.
Parks.
Yeah. And the last thing you want is somebody getting hangry, you know, whether it's an adult or a child, especially in a queue or something, and having that meltdown. It's just better to be prepared and have a little something on hand just in case you can't get to your meal or some other food in time.
Right. So just something to keep in mind. I know most people know that, but sometimes I think people forget and they don't think about bringing their own food in. It's a great way to approach it and
for
save
sure
a little money while you're out having a good day at the parks. So that's it for this week's show. Next week, well, we're approaching Earth Day, and we have a couple of possible topics that center around that very planet conscious holiday. We're still trying to figure out which one we're going to do. It'll probably be involving Michelle doing some sort of research piece, I'm sure of it, but we'll narrow that down. I'm sure by the time Michelle releases the newsletter, we'll have it figured out for this week. But
yes,
it's going to be fun. It'll be a fun topic and an interesting topic, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think we've narrowed it down to two.
I saw a couple in there.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want to pin you down to it yet.
Well, and I also didn't know if you had a preferred one as well. Mm-hmm. So we will do one to celebrate Earth Day.
Yeah, and we're going to be going out to Disney's Animal Kingdom Park the day after Earth Day for that
Moonlight Magic. Yeah,
which is fun. I mean, Earth Day is also Animal Kingdom Park's birthday,
right?
By the way,
yes. So, and last year was there.
Was it a 20 last year?
I thought it was the 25th. I think it was the 25th. I remember being out there for all the celebrations. It was pretty cool. But and April is considered Earth Month, so just thought it would be good to touch on that topic throughout this month.
It'll be good. And Michelle's research is always the best. So, you know, it's going to be an excellent, excellent topic for sure. As for this week's show, we appreciate that you join us today. In the future, you can find us most everywhere you get podcasts. However, the very best place to find us is on our own website, HyperionAdventuresPodcast.com. Also, we're on social media. We're on Twitter at Hyperion Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. If you are on Facebook, come on over and join us for some good, positive Disney energy fun on our Hyperion Adventures Facebook group. Also, we're on YouTube. If you want to find us there, we're at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. And if you ever want to contact us for any reason, please hit us up at our Gmail account, HyperionAdventuresPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like to support this podcast, we do have, it's on a Spreadshirt shop site in our link tree, but it's more than just shirts. We have several logos. Tom's done an amazing job, and you can have those logos applied to a lot of various things. So check out the shop. Things change, and they have some sales at times. So go to our link tree and pick our Spreadshirt shop and go shopping.
And check it out. You might find something you really like there and that you want to wear around. We appreciate it. Anybody who purchases anything and wears their stuff around, please take a picture and send it to us. We'll share it as well on our social media.
Yeah, we love that.
And if you've worn any of our gear. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Hyperion Adventures Podcast. We look forward to sharing some time with you again next week. Until that time, I'm Tom.
I'm Michelle.
And we hope that you have a magical week.